The blessing of a trial is that it draws us closer to God.
Amen.
You know, and I've reflected a little bit, and you have to excuse me a little bit because this is kind of an emotional time, to be honest with you. I remember the first day that I stepped into this church many years ago. I remember the first time that I stood behind this pulpit going on 8 years ago. I just found the message that I preached. And it's been 2.5 years since I've stood behind this pulpit. I've stood behind hundreds of pulpits all over. And what a blessing it's been to serve the Lord. I've been happier in the last 2 years of my life than I've ever been. It's an honor to be here. Church, if you have any idea the amount of hours that I've spent praying for you guys, it's an encouragement to see the Lord working here and this spirit that's come back. We've got a long way to go. We all do. We have a lot of work to do, and we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, but it's a blessing. And honestly, I've probably was more nervous than I've been in a while preaching. And but you know what? It's not about me and not about what I do or what I say, because you know, at the end of the day, it's all through Christ.
Amen.
It's all through Christ. And I've agonized over that thought for a while. And that's what the title of the message is tonight, Through Christ. You know, I've thought for a long time, you know, what's wrong? What's different? What's changed? What's changed in America? You know, we think about what's changed in today. And, you know, God hasn't changed. God has not changed. You know, the Bible has not changed. We've tried to pervert His Word, but it's not changed. That truth has not changed. And it will not change. Praise God for that in the preservation of His Word. But, you know, I look at 20 years ago and 30 years ago and 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 200 years ago. And you look and I've done some research and look and what has changed in all of that time. You know, I've started reading books after some men that wrote, you know, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, just desperately trying to figure out what's changed. You know, we're losing our churches. We've already pretty much lost our families. And, you know, we look at the world and we look at what happened. Yet, you know, we can't even hardly go. I think if we really knew all the stories, the school shootings, yet another big one, and we just continue. And it's like, well, what do we need to do? What's the answer? And we have, you know, the world has all the answers. But when it comes down to it, you know, we are the problem. The church is the problem. The church is the problem.
Amen.
You know, I've been blessed to have the opportunity to go around this country. You know, not in a long period of time. I still just stand amazed by that opportunity that God would call me, just an old farm boy, a sinner saved by grace, to do such an important job. You know, but He's called us all. You know, and we so many times, I remember the first time I stood behind this pulpit and prayed, I was scared to death. You know, I remember the time that Pastor Musgrave came to me and says, "Brother, I want you to pray about taking the youth." I said, "You want me to do what, when, and how?" And to see Jessica to play the piano and sing like that. You know, there's been some of them broke my heart. But that'll continue to happen. The devil's still alive and well. And he's still seeking who he may devour. But I want you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, and we'll read here a few versions. When you find Colossians chapter 2, go ahead and stand with me tonight and we'll pray and get into the message. Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to start. Actually, let's start in verse 1. The Bible says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you. You know, it would be, it'd be amazing, absolutely amazing to see what would happen if we truly had the burden that some of the men of old did. The burdens that we had, the burdens that bring us to tears, the burden that for other things than self and the things of this world. Look at that. That ye knew what great conflict I had for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. I believe one of the reasons that God used Paul so much is he had a burden for these cities. He had a burden for the lost. He had a burden to do something for Christ. He had a burden for these churches and for these people.
Amen.
Verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the ministry of God, and to the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures, all, not some of, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit. Paul is saying this to the Colossians. Yet am I with you in the spirit, joying in beholding your order, and the steadfastness, look at this, in the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding there with thanksgiving. Look here closely at verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. In verse 9, For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power. And the head of all principalities and power. We know who wins. We know who has the most power. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to come before you in prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to open your word. Father, the opportunity to preach your word. Father, I pray, Father, you give me the power of your spirit. Give me unction from on high. Father, I need you. Father, I need you and only you. Father, don't allow me to get in the way of what you want to have said or done. Father, I pray that you bind the devil by the blood of Jesus Christ off of this place and everyone that's here listening. Father, I pray that you work in hearts. Father, work in my heart. Father, help us to truly understand this. Father, help us to draw closer to you. Father, help us to take you serious and your work serious and not to get wrapped up in these things of the world. Father, I love you. And I thank you so much for who you are. Father, I thank you also for all the things you bless us with, Father, so much more than we deserve, and for the opportunity to serve you. Father, I ask all of this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. You know what? Why has things changed? I want you to look with me, and I want you to. I'm going to tell you to go to a number of other passages here, but I want you to. We're going to come back to this here in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10. But why have things changed so much in this country? Why do they continue to spiral downward? Why do, you know, the people, less and less people continue to come to church? Less and less people continue to come to church on Sunday night, on Wednesday night? Why do people continue to just play church. Wow. Just to play church. You know, there's, and I understand in the North, there's less and less people that even have church on Sunday night. You know, there's people that have church on Sunday night in the South more so, but that doesn't mean they're doing any more for God. They're just going through the motions. They're just being a Pharisee, and they know that's what they're supposed to do. They know that people look down upon them if they do not. Look with me in verse 7 here. There's verse 7 and 8. This is why. Rooted, it says, so walk ye in him. Look in verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Have you received Christ Jesus the Lord? So walk ye in him. Rooted. Rooted. If a tree's rooted, they're in deep. If a tree's going to stand, they're rooted deep. It's got its roots deep in the ground. Are you rooted in Jesus Christ in that way? And built up in him. We're not rooted anymore in him. We're so shallow and so carnal today. The wind, the least bit of wind, can blow us over. Just as a shallow rooted shrub or tree. That's where we're at today. That's where we've fallen prey to the lies of the devil in this world. But look at that. So walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him. Doesn't say anything about ourselves. You see that? This is all about in him, about him and through him. Established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding. That means you're working, you're staying busy there, and you're thankful to get that opportunity to. That's the problem. That's why we're so shallow and we want to do it ourselves. We think we can do it ourselves. The devil's done duped us. I know that's not correct English, but he has. He has. You know, I know how serious. You know, I thank God. I praise God. I was thinking about that sitting back there, that I take preaching behind this desk more serious today than I did the very first time I stood here. And I ask God, please, please, don't let me ever take that for granted. Don't ever let me take for granted what he wants me to preach, where and when. I don't want to go where he doesn't want me to go. People's like, oh, you've been here. Go see this. I'm like, listen, I'm only going where he wants me to go. He's proven he'll take care of me if I just follow him and not try to do it myself. This isn't about just showing up to a place and preaching. This is about doing God's work. We want to just do things to do things. And that's what's wrong. Yes, we're just doing things to do things. We're just going through the motions. Where are you at tonight? But I want you to look here. In verse 8, it says, beware. Beware lest any man spoil you. The word spoil, if you look up that and in the Greek, and the word spoil means ruin. Ruin and make fall. So let's look at that. Beware lest any man ruin you or make you fall. That sounds a little worse now. That sounds a little worse. Beware! He's saying beware! They're trying to ruin you. You know, we want to look at, it's from the preacher that's been preaching the longest to the freshly saved Christian. We all have to beware that he wants to spoil us. He wants to ruin you. He wants us to fall. He wants us to fall and take as many people with us as he can. Beware. But you know what? We don't beware. We don't take that serious. He wants to make us fall. He wants to make us stumble. Beware. And this is how he wants to do it. Lest any man spoil you through philosophy. I don't know about you, but I took philosophy in college. You want to talk about a joke? Yeah, that doesn't work out so well. There's philosophy means, look at this, love of wisdom. Skill in art and science. We're too smart for our own good today. Too smart.
We think we have all the answers. We don't need God today. You think it's a coincidence that we have professors and all these different people in these educational institutions that don't want nothing to do with God. They want to say that God's dead. They want to try to push people away from God as much as possible. Do you think that's a coincidence? It's not a coincidence because they think they don't need God. They're smarter than God. I don't know about you, but I remember what happened to the devil when he thought he was equal and wanted to be equal with God. So look at that. So beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Vain deceit means empty, void of the truth, a delusion. It looks one way, but it's actually something else. Stop falling for the lies and the delusions of the devil. That's what we're doing. Oh, that's okay. That's not a problem. You know, but we, in Sunday school, you know, and I talked to Pastor at lunch. We were talking sometime today anyway about, you know, we have no idea all the things in this world. I don't think any of us understand all the delusions that we fall for. You know, from phrases that we catch on to. You know, I see and I look and, you know, you see a dress style that starts to creep into the church. It may not, you know, we take, and I like how we modestize certain dress things, and we like, okay, well, we'll take a little bit of the world and just bring it in. But and then we'll take words and phrases and different things like that. And I hear it. It doesn't take but a matter of months and a matter of a year or 2 years, and you hear it and see it in the church and in Christians, and it's accepted. At first, it's like, well, we don't know. And then before you know, well, I guess that's not so bad. And then now, oh, there's nothing wrong with that because everybody's doing it, including the preacher. I'm going to step on some toes here for a minute. I want you to think about something. How can we be a delusion, and the devil bring things like that and that look so good, but that's so bad. You know, but, and then we have this almighty God, this creator, the great I am, the Omega, our creator, the most wonderful, we can't even comprehend how he loves us. I don't know about you, but I don't really understand truly what love is. The agape love that God has for us. You know, but we've brought God down. What is God? What is God? How good is God? But we'll take the smallest things and call them amazing or awesome. Well, what room does that leave for God and the things of God? The big thing is today. Oh, that's awesome. This is awesome. Awesome, 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 awesome. No, God is the only thing awesome. God, what are we doing? We're bringing God down. We're bringing God down. And we don't even realize it. It's happening before our eyes in our own churches. And it's just something that, it's happening. And it's just sneaking in. And we don't even realize it. Think about that for a minute. Through all of this delusion. But look, let's continue there in verse 8. After the tradition of men, and vain deceit, after the tradition of men. Tradition is a ritual. That's right. And ordinance. You know, we just saw a ritual and ordinance. I understand, you know, Mrs. Musgrave, you and I understand what a ritual and an ordinance, you know, John and Cora understand what a ritual and an ordinance. You know, we've been around that Catholic religion. That's a ritual or an ordinance. And you say, well, yeah, I understand that. But I want you to think about something. The problem is even in our Baptist churches today, we have rituals that we don't call rituals, but they're just as much a ritual as what the rituals are in the Catholic Church. But they're okay. They're accepted. Because, you know, everybody says they are. But are they God?
Are they of God? Or are they just things that we've done? Are they things that men have started that are just, may have been started with a pure heart, but what they are today,
well,
are just a delusion. They're just something to distract us. So look with me there in verse 8. We're just about done through this verse. After. So beware lest any man spoil or ruin you through the philosophy or the wisdom and vain deceit or the empty void of truth, the delusion, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments. So not only after the tradition of men, but after the rudiments of the world. Rudiments is the fundamental, the first principles. We're fundamental Baptists. We're fundamental Baptists, but after the rudiments or the fundamentals of the world, the first principles, and not, here's the key part, and not after Christ. If it's not after Christ, it's no good. But we forget that. We forget that so many times. But that's why things are changing. That's why Christians have lost their fight. The Christians have lost their fervor. That's why Christians are not doing anything for the cross of Christ. That's why we're being disobedient to our Savior and our God Almighty that did so much for us. Look with me in verse 9 and 10. Nothing can be added to completeness through Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and power. It says nothing about us. It's Him and Him only. But look at that. Here's something we don't even understand. We thank God. Sometimes we think we're doing good if we thank God for the things that He does for us. We think we're spiritual because I thank God for the things He does for me.
Well,
you understand? We're just scratching the surface. We're so shallow. Remember, we're not rooted very deep. And we don't truly understand. We don't truly reverence and fear God the way we should, that He's got the Godhead means there of the Godhead bodily. That's deity, the state of being God. He is God Almighty, your Creator, my Creator. And if you're saved, He sent His only begotten Son to come to this world. When's the last time you thought about what Jesus went through on this earth for you and for me? That He came, you know, We don't want to go out. We don't want to share the gospel. It went out in our everyday, you know, when we're out and about. We don't want to come to Rakoa. We don't come to soul winning. We don't do any of that kind of stuff because we're afraid that somebody's going to make fun of us. What did Jesus take? How much did they make fun of Jesus? I want you to think about something for a minute. Think of somebody like Noah. Think about somebody like Noah. It's never, ever rained before in the history. Never, ever. And you're building a boat for 100 years. Because you say there's going to be a flood on the earth. There's going to be water falling from the skies. That'd be like me saying that that pigs are going to fly or something, and I'm doing something to get ready for it. You'd all think I was crazy. Right? Don't worry, I've had a lot of people, and a lot of people still think I'm crazy. So, it's nice to see that people still look at you in the same way. We were trying to get this young man that's about my age that I used to work with to come to Pastor Holt's several weeks ago for the big day because he's married to the daughter of one of the church members. And we had a great relationship, but all he told his father-in-law was, he goes, he went off the deep end. He's crazy. I'm like, well, at least I'm still keeping my reputation. So, but you know what? Think about that. Think about what they must have said about Noah. You know, short of a person last year coming at my son, Mason, and one of our preacher boys with a knife when we were soul winning, and having a few doors slammed in my face and calling a few bad names, nobody's ever hurt me.
Right.
Nobody's ever hurt me. Yeah, I'd be lying to you if I didn't get my feelings hurt and get, you know, be scared and not that I don't always witness to everybody that God tells me to. But I tell you, the closer I get with the Lord, the more it breaks my heart. You know, the more I get for a burden for souls. There are people dying and going to hell. My own father is dying and going to hell if something happens, if he dies. You know, God used that. You know what? I prayed, God send somebody. But you know what? What happened? How many people were praying around? God send somebody. Who am I? Whose family member am I supposed to witness to? Whose family member am I supposed to lead to Christ? You see, I can't do anything because it's all through Christ. We should call it soul warning, not soul winning. Because all we're doing is warning. He does the winning. He does the winning. But if we truly had a burden that brings us to tears, a burden, you know, the Bible says, and it was in one of the memory verses, that what you sow, what you sow in tears, you reap in joy. The prayers that I've seen greatest answered in the most amazing ways was the things that I wept in prayer over, that God did amazing things because I had a burden for Him, and it was through Christ. And the things that I just got out of the way, but I had a burden so much that I just wept in prayer and just watched God just do amazing things. Through Him, not from anything I can do. I gave up trying to do stuff because you know what? Nobody's going to do anything unless they want to do it, and God's the only one that's going to bring them to that point. I can't do it. Even if God gives me the words to speak, it's not me. It's God that gave me those words. I'm not good enough to come up with that. And God help me if I ever think that I am. Because I'm in big trouble. But look with me. Look with me here. Nothing can be added to completeness. Nothing at all can be added to completeness through Christ. Look with me. It's all about being through Christ. Through Christ, number one, we can be saved. Praise God, we can be saved from hell. We can be saved from hell, what we truly deserve. I'm not going to belabor this point tonight for the sake of time. It's a Sunday night. I know most of the people in this room's personal testimony. But I beg you, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, that you will get it settled tonight. That for the sake of time. In many, many places we can say, but in Acts 15:11, it says that through Christ we can be saved from hell. We can have eternal life. We can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. In Romans 6:23, in John 20:31, and we're not going to go to these. I'm going to get to some of these other points for the sake of time tonight. But so number one, we can be saved from hell through Christ. Number two, we have access. Think about this for a minute. We have access to God the Father, God Almighty. We have access. We have direct access to God Almighty through Jesus Christ, His Son. Think about that. What an amazing thing. A horrible sinner that He doesn't need. I have direct access to my Almighty Father. He created all this. All through His Son, Jesus Christ. One thought away. One word away. And I have access to Him. And to think, I don't even take advantage of it very often. Isn't that sad? That's like having all this power to do anything, and we don't even take advantage of it.
When's the last time you prayed?
When's the last time you prayed for everything that you need instead of doing it in your own power or trying to do it in your own power? And when that doesn't work, now you pray. I'm talking about even the little things. I'm talking about when's the last time you prayed and prayed and prayed for somebody because you had a burden for them. I'm not talking about a minute or 2 minutes. I'm talking about for a half an hour, 2 hours. It's not about if you that you have to pray. It's about that you get to pray and that I want to pray. I have to. That's the only answer. That's the only possible thing that's going to change stuff. We don't have the faith because we don't pray. And we try to do it ourselves because it's not through Christ. Think about it. This is the answer. We're doing it. We're going through the motions. We're trying to run these programs. And I'm not against any of this stuff. You know, the stuff works, but the problem is that the things that worked for men of God in the past that worked because they had the power of God on them, we followed after the rudiments of the world, and we think if we just send them and teach them the motions,
right,
that it'll work again. But it doesn't work like that with God. It only works that way in the world. We need Christ, and we need His power, and we need His help, or it does not work. We're no match for the devil unless it's through Christ.
Amen.
We have power over the devil, but it's not in our own self. It's through Christ. Because we have access to God the Father. Look with me in Romans 1:8. Romans 1:8. Romans 1:8. Then you can find Romans 7 after that. Romans 1:8, the Bible says, "First, I thank my God. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all." This is Paul speaking again. "That your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." Do people talk about your faith? Do people talk about your faith? Well, I sure want people to talk about my faith.
Well, go ahead.
We have access to God the Father. Look in Romans 7. Romans chapter 7 and verse 25, the Bible says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Right there, it gives us more answers. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So even with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. We think we can do it with ourselves. We think we can do it ourselves. But our flesh is just serving this world. It wants the things of this world. We're so carnal today. And I understand. We have so many distractions around us. But we don't have to get distracted. If we have our priorities straight.
Well, amen.
You
amen.
Realize, you say, "Brother Fiedler, I'm busy. I can't do any more to serve God. I'm scared. I can't do that." The ones of you that know me very well, the young people that are here, know where I can't goes with me. But you know what? It's not about because it's me. And we'll get to that in a minute. But we have access to God the Father through prayer. What an amazing, have you thought about that? What amazing blessing that we have direct access, each and every one of us. Each and every one of us, thank you, Lord, that we have access to God Almighty through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because of what He did for us. But you know, we're so callous to that. Yeah, I hear that every week. Jesus died for me. God, 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 God. We're just callous to it.
Help.
Think about that. We're so callous to it because we've been duped. The devil has us so to where, you know, we think we can do it ourselves. The world just plays down God so much. We're so busy. When's the last time? How many times a week do you just take time? Take time, make time just to think about God, about the things of God, and about how good He is to you. Think about all of those things that He's done. Think about who He is. You know what? When I really started to understand a little bit, and I've got a long way to go, of who God really is and how amazing, how awesome He really is when I took time to think. And you know, I started to pray, God, help me to understand who You really are and how powerful You really are and what You want me to do for You. You know what? He wants to answer our prayers. He loves to hear those prayers. He loves when we're open to Him. He just doesn't see it very much anymore. He doesn't see it very much anymore. You know what I tell people all over this country? They like to make a big deal out of what I did. About, oh, you gave up all these things. I've had people come to hear me preach because of what I did. And I said, you know what? I didn't do nothing except for I trusted God with all of my heart and I obeyed Him. I think if my kids singing that song, Trust and Obey, I think God knew what He was doing when we'd sing that all the time and my wife would sing it. We'd sing it as a family. That's the first song my wife learned to play on the piano. I don't think that's a coincidence because that's all it is. Trust and obey. I don't care whether that's to do, you've been called to do what God called me to do, or God, you've been called. God wants you to just, you know, to serve Him, to witness for Him, to serve Him in the church. We all have a will that God wants us to do. And there's much work to be done. Let me tell you what, if you haven't noticed it around you, if you haven't opened your eyes, it's not getting any better. Right. This world's going to hell in a handbasket. It's dying going to hell, and it's wicked beyond wicked. But we're callous to it. We're just callous to it. You say, I'm too old. I don't have enough time. Stop making excuses. Because that's all they are. I don't care who you are, how smart you are, how dumb you are, how good looking you are, how ugly you are. If God can use me, He can use anybody. I'm telling you, some of the people that God used the most, one of the things I've found since I've been studying after some of these men that from 100, 200 years ago. They were just men with burdens. They weren't necessarily smart. They were men that just wanted to do something for God, and they had a burden to do something for God. We get so wrapped up in, oh man, that person's, and I'm not trying to make light of all the health problems or any of that kind of stuff. But we'll say, oh, that's so sad, that's so bad, and all that stuff. And I wonder what God thinks. Well, what about me? What about me? You don't get that burden for me. You don't get that burden for people that are lost. We're only on this earth for just a few years. But we'll act, oh, that person's, they're going to pass away. You know, they've got this, and I'm not trying to make light of that. Please don't misunderstand me. But what about God in eternity and forever? Forever is forever and forever. Not just 50, 60, 70, 80 years, maybe only 5 years. If we really thought about that, we wouldn't take the things of this world and put so much weight in them. We wouldn't do so much and put so much in this world. Take it from somebody that knows.
I got wrapped up into this of being successful, being somebody. And you know what? There's nothing in it. I told you before when I first got up here, I've never been happier in the last 2 years of my life. Never been happier than the last 2 years of my life. There's people that thought I was successful. But you know what? What's success? What's success at the end of the day? Is it how much money we have? Is it how big a house we have? What kind of cars we drive? The toys we have? Yeah, I think about that. I'm praying about taking Mason to Mexico in January. Because I want to see. I want him to see. I want to see how good we have it. I don't care. You know, we live in a 32-foot camper most of our life now. Praise God. Praise God. Because I get to serve my Lord and Savior. God Almighty, I get to. He doesn't need me, you see. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need any of us. We get to. Don't be duped. You understand right there? That is the thing. We're a delusion. We have the devil's doing such a great job at all of these things and showing us and getting us to believe all these things. So through Christ, we're saved from hell. Number two, we have access to God our Father. Number three, through Christ, we have victory. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 57. Through Christ, we have victory over our sins and death and the devil. We have victory over everything through Christ. Everything. Not some things, everything. Victory. I see time and time and time and time again. People, young people, old people that are in bondage to their sin. Bondage to their sin. And they cannot get victory over it because they're in bondage to it. But there's the answer through Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 57, the Bible says, "But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." But look at that. Our victory is through Lord Jesus Christ. The reason we're in bondage, the sin I've been in bondage in my life, the only way to break that bondage is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not just getting saved. It's a matter of giving it to Him and letting Him take care of it and stop thinking you're strong enough to beat it. You are not strong enough to beat it. So it's through Christ we have victory over our sin. We have victory over death, thankfully, through Christ and the devil by the power of Christ. Number four, we can have peace and joy. Peace and joy. What everyone in this world is looking for. I don't care how much money they have, how successful they are, what they've done, what they haven't done, what it is. It's peace that passes all understanding. It's joy. That's what they want. That's what we all desire in our heart, whether we'll admit it or not. That's what it is. It's that peace, and it only comes. It only comes. Turn with me to Romans 5. It only comes through Christ. Romans 5 in verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me in verse 11. "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. If you haven't noticed, this book is full of everything that is through Christ. That's what this book is about, talking about all the things that's through Christ. We could go on and on. I'm just touching the surface. I'm just trying to get you to understand that, look, the devil's duking us. We're trying to do this. We're shallow, carnal Christians. And that's the problem today. If we just give it to God, if we just get a burden to do something for God and let God have His will and His way with us, we'll stand up here Sunday and Wednesday and any other days, and we'll sing the songs. We'll sing the songs, Revive Us Again. And we'll just sing it and sing it and sing it and sing it. We'll pray for revival. We'll say all the right words. But we just continue to do the same old thing. We're creatures of habit. We just continue to do the same thing. And then we're like, why? Why don't I get the victory? Why don't I have that peace and that joy? Why? We're trying to do it ourselves. It's not through Christ. So fifthly, we can have trust through Christ. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we can have trust or confidence. If you look up that trust that we're going to look here in a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 3. That word trust means confidence. You know, so many times, well, let's read this here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 3. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. In such trust have we through Christ to Godward. To Godward, to deity, to God, to deity, God Almighty. Look with me in verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Our sufficiency is of God. We're nothing. But listen to me. So there's two reasons we've kind of came to the part in the message. You still with me? We can be overconfident. We can be confident in our own flesh. I can do it. I can do it. I can take care of it. I'm proud. I'm tough. That's what I was trained as. I can do it. I can take care of it. The ones of you in the military, you know what I'm talking about. You know, that confidence, that's one side of us. The other side that doesn't get talked about very often is the fact that confidence or that lack of confidence. I can't do it. I'm not very smart. I'm scared. I'm not very outgoing. You know, preacher, you're an outgoing personality. You know, I'm an outgoing. You guys can do it because you're outgoing. I'm not very confident. I don't think very much of myself. But it just says right there that it takes care of that. We don't hear that preached and taught enough. That people, you know what? Through Christ, you can have that trust, that confidence. There's nothing wrong with confidence as long as they're putting confidence in the right things. Confidence in the right things. Confidence in Him. And He's taken some of the most lonely and some of the most backward people and use them to turn this world upside down. It's like I said earlier. It's just a matter that we want to. We have a love and a desire and a burden to do something for God. Or are we going to get stuck the way the rest of the world is and so many other churches, most churches today? I don't have time. I'm tired. Don't you know that I work a full-time job? Don't you know I do this? Don't you know I do that? I have to do this. And you know what? I don't have time for all this stuff. I'm doing everything I can do. It's because you don't have a burden. It's because you don't have a burden and you don't truly love God the way you should. Look, I'm there with you. I don't love God the way I should. There's some day that I'm going to love God. I'm going to understand how God loves me. There's some day, whether we all go up in the air or I go in the grave and go to heaven. But you know what? We are going to someday really understand it all. And we are going to be so embarrassed. And we're going to be in tears of shame, because we're going to see how we could have done so much and how we wasted so much time. We don't understand the time that we waste, the amount of time we waste. Think about it. Do yourself a favor sometime. Write down every 15 minutes of the day what you did. Look how much time you waste. Think about if each one of us could actually serve God for an extra couple hours a week. Just a couple hours. I want you to think about this for a second. God's burdened me to the fact, if each and every one of us, there's 30-some people probably in this room, if each one of you would lead one person to Christ, if every Christian in this world would lead one person, just one person to Christ, and then disciple that person, that's where we're going wrong. Well, we're going wrong to begin with. But and disciple that person. I'm talking truly disciple that person. I'm like, put hours and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours. They want to know that you care. We can see shallowness. Don't you think they can too?
Amen.
God's not going to bless it if He knows your heart's not in it. But if you disciple that one person to the point that they lead a person to Christ and disciple, we wouldn't have the problems we do. God showed me that several months ago. It's like, wow. Think about it. What's wrong? What's wrong? We're so shallow. And we're so carnal. And we're so trying to do it ourselves. And we don't have the power of God that we should. We don't, you know, we don't even understand that we need the power of God. And finally, you realize, and this is my life verse, Philippians 4:13. We can do all things. We can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know, we see the devil, something, you say, well, that's simple, Brother Fiedler. That's simple. Yeah, I know we can do all things. We see signs that they sell at Hobby Lobby and all these other places. And we take part of the verse. And then we take it partially out of context. Or we take just part of the verse and don't take what we, you don't see all these things. You say, we can do all things. They always leave the through Christ out. They always leave Christ on everything. Really? Think about it. Through Christ. It doesn't get a lot more simple than this. But you know what? This is what it comes down to at the end of the day. This is what the Lord... I wrote this message in January. I literally agonized. I didn't sleep the night of this. I preached this the first time to a bunch of preachers at a Bible conference. And you know what? I struggled. It's like, they're going to hang me. You know, saying that we're not doing the things and comparing Baptists to Catholics and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And there's, but you know what? It's true. It's true. What's our problem? It's we're doing it ourselves. And why do we try to do it through us? Why do we try to do it through us? Think about that. Think about Jesus. Think about God Almighty. Do you think about those things? Honestly, all who He really is. I don't care how old you are. Some of us have been around a few years. Some of us not as many. Some of us more than me. But at the end of the day, if you're growing in the Lord, it's amazing what He'll show you.
Amen.
It's amazing what He'll show you. If you want to, if you just ask Him. You know, you say, well, oh, you know, Brother Fiedler, God called you in evangelism. Right here at this altar. Matter of fact, most times, right here at this altar. I remember, I can't remember the exact day, but I remember. Lord, here I am, Lord. Use me in whatever way you see fit. Here I am, Lord. Lord, help me to understand who you really are. You know, go into these preaching. I remember May of 2010, the first revival I ever went to up in Grass Lake, Michigan. I remember going to that revival. I remember going, driving a couple hours. Why don't we like preaching anymore? Why don't we like the things of God? Why do we rather go to things of the world and do the things of the world and all of that versus the things of God? It's like trying to pull teeth to get a pastor to have a revival over 4 days. You know why it is? It's not because the pastors don't want it. It's because they're like, my people just won't. You know, now we'll have tent revivals. It's a blessing. It's an absolute blessing to see the tent revivals. We'll have 4 or 5 days. Man, brother, I wish we could just keep going. I wish we could keep going. We're doing several tent revivals that are 8, 9 days this year. Praise God. Do you realize in 3 or 4 days we're so carnal? We can't even get our hearts right enough for God to actually work. And we think we can go to one revival service and God's actually going to be able to do a whole lot. Think about it. It's quiet, I understand that. But you know what I've come to understand? It's good when it's quiet. I don't need people amening me because I just want to be obedient to God. I don't need man. All I need is Him and be obedient to Him. That's all it is when it comes down to it. It's all about Christ. It's all through Christ. Let's stand. Stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Why do we try? Why do we try to do it through us? And I want to go back just for a second. And I want to ask a question. I know the question was asked this morning, but I don't ever want to take this for granted. I'm not going to ask if you're saved. I'm going to ask if you're not saved, if you need to tonight to get it taken care of, that through Christ you're saved from hell. Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You say, Brother Fiedler, would you pray for me? I have never, ever accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I need to get that taken care of. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand? Say, Brother Fiedler, would you pray for me? I see that hand. Anyone else? Any other hands? You be honest with God and say, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay. I want to ask one last question, and when I'm going to pray, and then sis, after I get done praying, then you start to play. You say, Brother Fiedler, would you pray for me? I am shallowly rooted in my faith. I am trying to do things in my own power. I'm not doing things through Christ. I don't pray the way that I should. I'm not getting the victory over sin the way that I should because I'm not doing it through Christ. I don't have that true peace and joy that I really could have because I'm not doing it through Christ. Or I don't have that confidence or that trust in God through Christ the way I should. Well, I don't really truly believe that I can do all things through Christ. God's not truly showing Himself real to me because I'm not giving Him the opportunity. You say, Brother Fiedler, the Lord spoke to my heart. Would you pray for me tonight? Would you raise your hand? I see that hand. I see those hands. Anyone else to say, the Lord's prayed for me, pray for me, Brother Fiedler. The Lord's touched my heart. I'm not doing everything through Christ. Would you pray for me? Anyone else? Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me? I see that hand. Anyone else?
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to come before you in prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be back in our home church. Father, I thank you for these folks that I love dearly. Father, I pray, Father, for the one that raised their hand. Father, that if they truly understand, Father, if they're truly ready to get it settled today, that today would be the day of salvation. Father, I pray for the ones that were honest with you. Father, that they're not doing things through Christ. Father, that in different ways they're trying to do things through themselves. And Father, I pray for all of us that whether we're honest or not, you know the fact is that none of us are doing everything through you. Father, we wouldn't have the problems that we have. Father, I pray, dear God, that you would work in hearts. Father, work in my heart, dear God, please. Father, please save this country, save the churches, and save the families. Father, this is the only answer. You're the only answer. Father, I love you. Pray that you work in hearts. We ask all this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. As the music begins to play, the altar's open. The altar's open. What are you struggling with? How are you not doing things through Christ? You know, Christ is all we need. I sing many times to myself. Remind ourselves of that. You know, I find the more I talk about Christ and think about Christ, the more I get a burden to do the things, and the less I get distracted for the things of this world. Can we do all things through Christ? Can we have trust and the confidence through Christ that he's talking about in the Bible? About in this great holy book that's been preserved for us generation after generation after generation. Praise God that he loved us enough to leave us his word. Do you have that peace and joy, that peace that passes all understanding that he's talking about? Are you doing enough for God? Do you have the victory over those besetting sins? I'm not talking about necessarily even the gross sins. I'm just talking about the sins, that besetting sin that so easily besets you. You know, I don't believe that any of us pray the way we should. And when I say pray, I'm talking about what the Bible says. We want to say words, and we want to say words like we're praying, but are we truly praying in the Spirit, the way the Bible talks about, the way that the God of heaven hears us? Have access to God the Father through Jesus Christ? And has our salvation grown cold that was through Christ? Is it fresh? Are we excited about people getting saved? Are we burdened about souls going to hell? Truly, are we burdened? Do we just come and go soul winning just in the times of a special program because the pastor wants us to? Or are we doing it because we love Christ? Are we doing it because we have a true love and a burden for Christ and a love that we just want to do more and more for our wonderful Savior, for our wonderful Creator?
just come off of some very high moments, very encouraging few weeks. We've seen our Lord do some amazing, wonderful things in our hearts personally. We've watched Him save souls. We've watched Him once again bring visitors. Faces, people that sometimes we've been praying for and about for some time, other times people that we're totally unaware of and unknowing of. What we've experienced and we've seen take place. Seven-week period of time in which we focused upon walking and doing things through Christ, allowing Him to have the glory, allowing Him to move us and motivate us, allowing Him to encourage and inspire us, taking time to be serious about prayer, petitions, asking Him to cure heartache, cure physical hardship. If we've witnessed Him do just what He said He would do. And it's amazing how, just as Brother Fiedler has spoken tonight, through Christ, we're able to watch when we are simply focused about doing what He's asked us to do, how faithful He is. Accomplishing what He promised He would do. I love you, church. It's been a blessed for a few weeks prior. I had an opportunity to do some things that I rarely and sometimes even have never had the opportunity of doing. But my heart is still here. You are the source of my joy. In church, I carry a tremendous burden at the moment because I want to see what we've watched God do continue. And it's up to us. He'll continue to do it if we're willing to allow it to happen. It's not a program here. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this blessed day, Lord God, and Father, just the accomplishments of this day for Your kingdom. We pray that as we dismiss tonight, that Your power and presence might be upon us. And Lord God, may we continue marching forward. May we continue, Lord, walking in the Spirit. May we continue being a prayerful people. Bible tells us that, Lord God, as You walked into that temple house, You overturned tables and You yelled out in frustration and, yes, even anger. My house is a house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. Lord, we pray that in our actions over these last few months, we've shown to You that, Lord God, we don't want a den of thieves among us. Lord God, we want to return to Your house being a house of prayer where You have the liberty and Your Spirit has not just the ability, we know that ability exists, but the liberty to allow Your work to be done as we watch Your work being done through Your mighty hand. Father, help Heritage Baptist Church as Heritage Baptist Church helps themselves through You. Stay focused. Forward and fervent. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We grab some plates here, okay? And Look, this is nothing unbeknown to us, church. We have an opportunity to be a blessing, and obviously, you know, the Fiedlers travel a great deal. Traveling cost fuel, cost money. They're out on the road. Obviously, there's a family to feed, and those boys are getting to the age where they can eat. Amen. So, as we all know, it acquires cost. So let's band together and listen. They're some of our own. Amen. They're not strangers, and they're not people or acquaintances. They're our family. So let's go to the Lord tonight. Pray for his power and ability and opportunity to be a blessing to him this evening. Obviously, everything that comes in will go directly to them tonight. So as the Lord so leads. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for, again, this opportunity. Thank you for the Fiedler family, Lord God. We thank you for Brother Fiedler, Lord. And Father, you hand upon him. I pray that, God, you'd continue to unction their work and empower him for what you have before him. Allow him to, Lord God, the power through you to be of influence, Lord God, in the individuals he has that opportunity to minister to. Father, keep his family safe as they travel. And, Lord God Almighty, we pray that as a church body, as their church body, and Lord God Almighty, we would do as you direct us to this evening for them. Pray to bless it, expand it, and Lord God, allow it to plentifully last long. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.